Hey, you're listening to World Cafe. I'm Talia Schlanger. On the show today, it's Guster. Guster's latest album is called Look Alive. They recorded some of it at the National Music Center in Canada, surrounded by vintage keyboards and synthesizers. These are sounds they'd worked with before, but in a new environment.
We're really interested in challenging ourselves and trying new stuff, and this was just like a whole bunch of new toys to play with is really how it kind of filters out.
I made for some cool sonic texture, but ultimately,
the only important thing is the song, the melody, the lyric.
Guster has been making music since the early 90s. Look Alive features one quirky song unlike anything they've ever done before. Lead singer Ryan Miller does spoken word in an English accent.
Like, what a funny thing to do this far in your band. You know what I mean? That you just, like, make a song like that.
We surprised people after 27 years.
We surprised ourselves.
Guster worked with three producers on the album, Leo Abrams, John Congleton, and Colin Dupuis. I talked to lead singer Ryan Miller and drummer Brian Rosenworcel, and their other two bandmates, Adam Gardner and Luke Reynolds, perform on the live tracks you are going to hear. These were gifted to us from Guster, recorded on the first leg of their Look Alive world tour of most of America and parts of Southern Canada. My chat with Ryan and Brian in a moment, but we're starting off with a live performance of the title track, This Is Look Alive.
Stand up, stand up, stand up.
with a live performance of Look Alive. That is Guster. That's the title track off their new album. I am here with Ryan Miller and Brian Rosenworcel. Guys, welcome back to World Cafe.
Well done. Well done.
I tell you.
I don't know what you were applauding for just now, but I'll take it. Thank
Your
you so much.
Your execution of Brian's last name is what I was applauding.
Oh, thank you. All that practice I did all morning has worked. So there are a lot of sounds that we've never heard from you guys before, and I know that taking this trip to a keyboard museum in Calgary was sort of an integral part of some of the sounds that we hear. So can you guys take me there and tell me like where you were and how that worked its way into your creative process?
Well, go ahead.
Brian?
Showing up in Calgary was kind of a random last-minute thing where our studio in Texas fell through because our British producer couldn't get a visa.
Oh, to go to the States?
Yeah.
You're kidding. So you had to go to Canada.
We had to go to Canada at the last minute, and Luke found this amazing vintage keyboard museum. And what's funny is there's room upon room of old clavichords and analog synthesizers and pianos and amazing, amazing things. And our producer, all he wanted to do was play this one Ensoniq Mirage from the 80s that had floppy disks and sounded like Janet Jackson, and that's all he wanted to use. We were in this vast, there was a full-time technician to repair all the Canadian keyboards that were there, and he just wanted to use the one.
Can you guys pick a song from Look Alive that features the keyboard that you're talking about so people can really hear it and visualize that in action?
In the summertime, track 6 is like kind of Leo's shining moment. And when you hear like these kind of explosions, that's the floppy disk.
Yeah, that's a cool sound. That's definitely Mirage.
That's Rhythm Nation right there.
Yeah.
Right? That's so sweet.
That's John crushing it in the production booth.
Yeah, John Myers, producer extraordinaire. He's at the record. It was actually him just playing the part. He actually has just a replica of the keyboard.
He really likes our record.
Loves it. So we've been frozen, battered and broken, since sublimation.
This God is my witness. And so, like, we wrote this song, and it was like guitar and bass, but those ching, 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 chings were just like maybe piano hits or guitar hits. So then he's like, let's try this thing, and all of a sudden you're reacting to that, and you kind of let it go in that direction. So maybe having all those colors and textures available to us there helped. I mean, we've been doing this for a couple records. We made our last record with Richard Swift, and mm-hmm. we definitely put some synthy stuff in. You know, even Satellite was like a kind of a synthy lead stuff. So it wasn't like, oh, cool, we found ourselves in a keyboard museum. What are keyboards and how do they work? You know, right. But there is a little bit. I think mostly it just allows us at this point, we're really interested in challenging ourselves and trying new stuff. And this was just like a whole bunch of new toys to play with is really how it kind of filters out.
Yeah. But also, it's the coolest building maybe in the world.
Oh, it's what a cool spot.
The National Music Center, right, in Calgary.
It's the coolest.
Yeah.
It's like 2 blocks. It's 2 blocks worth of a ginormous building. And
we felt so lucky to be recording there. It was January in Calgary, and the day we left, it was 28 below zero. But otherwise, it was great.
And that's in American degrees.
Oh, yeah. So you also worked with John Congleton, too,
yes.
Right?
Well, the idea, I think, initially was sort of we wanted to make, like, maybe three EPs rather than a record. Because we had all these producers we really liked. You know, we had talked to Dave Sidek, and he kind of disappeared. But we really loved all of Congleton's stuff. And Leo felt like he was going to be a good match. And John's just so busy. He works all the time. So he's like, yeah, I'd love to work with you guys. How about 7 months from now for a week? And we're like, oh, okay. So we kind of went in with Leo and we're just off to the races, and we worked really fast. But the Congleton thing, you know, we had a very short list of people we wanted to work with, like a very concise list. And it was really great working with him. And he couldn't have been more different than what we did with Leo in terms of approach and vibe and personality and everything. So
how, like, say more.
Well, Leo is a very, he's British, he's very, like, fastidious, he's very proper, he's kind, he's polite, and John is none of those things. He was like, he's like, not play, he's like, dirty, but he and I both grew up in Texas, and we fell into this really weird, dirty Texas thing that freaked everybody else out in our band. We're just, come here, boy, we're gonna talk like this all the time, and it was like, I love John, and like, I have to source this article, but they're basically like, they're Leonard Cohen's and there are Dylan's. And Dylan's are like, I'm just going to do it, man. We're going to pluck it out and we're going to write 6,000 songs. And then there are Leonard Cohen's who spend 7 years on a tune. And I think it is a very much a Leonard Bob thing with like, Leo is just like, he will work it and find every little nook and cranny and just make it so detailed. And then Congleton's like, first take, man, because he really believes in first takes. And he believes that you're not going to, like, that's why we don't work as long, because he doesn't want to overwork something. And so, is it Dylan or Leonard? I don't know. They both make great songs. I mean, it's kind of funner to be Bob, because you can just throw it off, but also there's stuff that Leonard does, and you're like, oh, I can tell you worked 7 years on this, in a way. So it really felt like one of those situations.
As you're saying that, I'm thinking about the performance that you have on Mind Control, where you're like, I'm free!
Yeah.
And it's like, that sounds like it doesn't sound wow. like something that somebody was like, do that again,
yeah.
do it this way,
exactly.
do it this way. Let's play that song now, but I'd love to hear a live performance that you guys recorded for us of the song. Here we go. Guster's new album is called Look Alive. I'm here with Ryan Miller and Brian Rosenworcel. So I have to ask you a bit more about your live setup now as Guster in 2019 as a band that started out with, you know, acoustic guitars and bongos and hand shakers. Brian, you have like two kits. Like you have two giant, you can maybe you can describe your drum setup for people who are hearing this on the radio.
Yeah, I take up a lot of microphones. Sometimes I feel bad about that. But I started with this hand percussion kit that kind of grew to something more elaborate, hitting drums you really shouldn't hit with your hands. And then one day around the year 2000, I was like, I want to play a drum set with sticks. And I discovered sticks. And now half the songs are on the percussion kit and half are on the drum set. So I just bounce back and forth. There's like, you guys are switching instruments every song too, so there's like a whole bunch of musical chairs going on every song in our live show.
Wait, literally musical chairs?
Yes, literally.
That's pretty funny.
But it helps.
You're like, that's pretty funny what I just said.
It is.
It helps keep the live show eclectic and interesting, which is nice. And we throw in like Adam's trumpet and a banjo or whatever, and I feel like we're definitely making a lot of sounds.
And I guess the only other thing I kind of wanted to say in context of all this sort of sonic textural coloring to stuff is that the most important thing that we do at the end of the day is write a song, and then we can kind of get out there. But it's really, it's the only important thing is the song, the melody, the lyric.
Guster's new album is called Look Alive. I'm here with Brian Miller and Brian Rosenworcel. So let's talk about the song Overexcited, because when I hear that song sounds like it's written out like a comedy monologue, and that you sort of like brought it in and were like, what's this song? But tell me, did that come out of the same, and I mean that in a loving way, like it's very fun, it's
it
funny.
It feels loving in here.
Okay, good.
It was just, when we write a song, we go wherever it wants to go, and that's evidence.
And so I think it was a little bit of like, you know, we love Our House, and we covered like Come On Eileen a few times in the show. So we kind of really appreciate really well-crafted pop songs like that, like almost 80s things that could be like, oh, that's a one-hit wonder or something. But like Our House is an amazing song. Like you get into the construction of it. And so there was a little bit of that. I just remember we were writing it, and I think maybe we had the chorus, and then, you know, there's definitely in the rehearsal space, it's like whatever you want to do. It's a free speech zone. I think Luke started rapping we're not going to rap, but Luke was rapping, and I was like, you know what? There's kind of something to. We started writing melodies over the verse, and I was like, that rapping thing. There's kind of something to it, but maybe it came out of the fact that I didn't feel really comfortable like talking in a real voice, and I kind of like messed with it a little bit, but I think I did it in the English accent, and then it allowed me to get out of my own way in terms of just like allowing this character to kind of come through a little bit. I was allowed to play this. It gave me permission to play this character that I couldn't do if I was just like this Jew from Texas, you know, talking about something.
Let's hear it.
I'm halfway home at the pub on the corner of the street. I see kids from school, but I stare down at my feet, sports on TV.
There's the Mirage too, by the way.
They scream for victory.
Oh, that's the keyboard
that's
that you're talking about from.
Keyboard.
A few blocks down, there's Dawn. She's got spinach on her teeth. In between the front ones, just a little bitty leaf, and I try to speak. But Dawn makes me nervous.
Calypso here.
Right? It feels like a little bit Genesis, like in a good way.
What? There's like Culture Club in here. Right when you said Calypso, it wasn't like a Belafonte thing, but there was something that made me feel that. Well, I was like, oh yeah.
The pet shop's closed, too bad, cause animals like me back. We had a dog once, we all just called a cat, was mum's idea. Got a great sense of humor.
It's just kind of like, what a funny thing to do this far in your band. You know what I mean? That you just like make a song like that.
We surprised people after 27 years.
We surprised ourselves.
That's wonderful. But you guys are also funny. I think you're historically funny, a funny band. Like,
but not usually in our songs.
Yeah, yes. We don't write joke songs. We never had a joke. This is the jokiest. This could be the jokiest song we've ever written. There's no other, like, funny songs.
And it could be a big smash hit, our first one.
Oh, no. 1 week since you left me the Chinese chicken.
That's what happens. Then you're singing Chinese chicken for the rest of your life.
Although, I'd be fine, because they're singing in their bazillionaire mansions.
Yeah, it's cool for sure. They have their own Chinese chicken
but
chain.
Those guys always wrote funny songs. Yeah. They were a funny song guy from the get.
We're talking about Barenaked Ladies.
Yeah, sorry. We
for people
not.
Who didn't get the
Chinese chicken reference.
Very obscure. Ryan Miller and Brian Rosenworcel are here with me from Gester. Their new album is called Look Alive. You, Brian, have been keeping a tour diary on the internet since September of 1999. Which is remarkable. It's on WordPress and it's still up there. So first of all, tell me about the impetus in 1999, like pre-2K, to keep a tour diary on this like sort of new blog space thing. Like blogs were, that was new.
It was totally
20
new.
Years ago. Whoa. 20 years ago.
It was.
Sorry.
I mean, for me, it was being behind the drum kit and not having a voice in the band. I kind of liked being...
You mean not? You had a voice in our band, just not an external voice.
Yeah, we would go on stage.
Just to clarify.
We would go on stage and Ryan would do the talking and I would be the silent drummer, but I kind of just wanted to document our road lifestyle, and I like to write about the funny things that happen, and I don't know. It just kind of evolved. It had a really good run, and then Instagram came and Facebook came, and it was less about like full Tumblr blog entries or WordPress blog entries. And so I've slacked in the last 5 years or so, but we had a great run. We made a little book of like my best entries, and we pretty much have documented all the ridiculous things we've done on stage.
Can we play a game, and it's called Tour Diary Roulette, and you say a random year and month, right. and then
let's play chat roulette.
We read the entry.
Wait,
yeah.
There wasn't that many entries, though.
Oh, there's
that
so many.
Oh, my God.
Really? Oh, my God.
It's 20 years, dude. I'm going to spin the wheel here.
You spin the wheel.
Oh, that's good. Do that one.
Okay.
Okay, tell us when this is.
Maybe I should read this sometime. Be kind of interesting.
You'll probably learn a lot about the band that you were in.
All right, here
that
we go.
You are in.
Okay, this is April 6th, 2006, East Lansing, Michigan. About a half hour before our scheduled National Biodiesel Fuel press conference today in East Lansing, Adam hit his head on a tampon dispenser in the bathroom, requiring a trip to the Michigan State Infirmary and 4 staples in his head. We lost our one articulate spokesman at the press conference. Ryan stepped up to the podium and did his best to talk about renewable energy, alternative fuels, and making a difference in your community. But the one guy who actually knows what he's talking about was getting his bloody scalp stitched up. All I could think about during the press conference was writing this road journal. I know it's wrong, but I feel the way John Stewart must have felt the day he walked into the office and learned that Dick Cheney had shot his 78-year-old hunting buddy. No one died, and it's just good, clean fun. Lots of it.
It's very meta. You're always, both of those were very fourth wally.
That is so funny.
Thank you
for that, Brian.
Nice job.
That is really funny. That is Brian Rosenworcel doing a reading of a tour blog diary circa 2006. That's amazing.
I know. I feel like you should go on tour. We should do like a version of this, like when we were playing, or like go do it at the bookstore or something.
So what album had just come out at that time? That was...
'06.
Ganging Up on the Sun came out in 06.
Okay,
yeah.
There you go. So what's another memory from that time, from right around that time, and maybe a song that goes with it?
It's just...
Let's go there.
It's just so interesting to think about how long ago that was. It was 13 years ago.
What are songs that are going Ganging Up on the Sun?
Satellite's
on
that one.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of fun. Okay, here's a fun fact about Satellite. We wanted that to be our first single, and they were like, nah, it's not poppy enough. And it's the only song that's still, it's like our most popular song of all time. Radio
people.
Who's
the they, guys?
Them, it's the man.
Our record label made us go and write more songs, and then they said, One Man Wrecking Machine, that's your song. But they were wrong. And they're always wrong.
We got a gold record for Satellite, though, recently, like a couple months ago.
Congratulations.
After 8 years. That's kind of cool.
That's amazing.
I love that story.
Wait, why did that? Because people have just progressively been buying it over time, yeah, and suddenly
like,
you hit gold
like
status?
Like 10 a week. You know what I mean? But that's
beautiful.
It's really a whole metaphor for our band in a way. It's like it's not about like this thing that happens. It's like about this like kind of slow burn where you just keep going and you never go away. And then all of a sudden you spend $400 on a gold record and you put it above your toilet.
True story or exaggeration of fact?
True for me.
Seriously?
True for you?
It's in your bathroom?
Yeah.
Mine's in the basement, but I need to put it over my toilet. I have nothing over my toilet.
Because don't people use their Oscars as doorstops and stuff? I feel like you have to.
I don't know anybody with an Oscar. Oh. I'm not sure. I know that John Prine, I think, put up a bad review of himself in the bathroom.
Oh, that's
a
cool...
We heard that story from Margot Price. That's
a
pretty cool...
She seems cool, too. You get to talk to cool people. You're great at your job. I'm really enjoying our conversation. I like when people, like, have the freedom to do stuff and they take it. Kind of like what we're... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, it's all together.
It's all come
full circle.
Full circle here.
Anyway.
Thank you very much for saying that.
I just like to be honest.
Thank you for saying so. It's been a delight to talk to you guys. That's for sure. What song should we go out? We've been talking about Satellite. So let's go out on that one. Ryan Miller and Brian Rosenworcel and the rest of the guys in Guster, congrats on the new album, Look Alive. And thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having us. This was super fun.
Thanks, Talia.
Thank you. That was recorded on stage, but we're in studio applauding for Guster. That was a recording of their song Satellite from their 2006 album, Ganging Up on the Sun. And maybe if Will and I keep clapping here in studio, they'll do an encore for us, another song that they recorded on tour. Do you think they'll do it, Will?
I hope so.
I hope so, too. Oh, look, here they come. They're coming back with another bonus live song here on the podcast and on the web. This one's called Hard Times. Okay, now that's really it. That's all you get. Lights are off. They're going home. Guster sent us that recording from the first leg of their Look Alive World Tour of most of America and parts of Southern Canada. That song is called Hard Times. It's from their latest album called Look Alive. Thanks so much to the whole band for performing for us. And thanks to Ryan Miller and Brian Rosenworcel for the chat. Thanks also to our World Cafe producer, John Myers. This was a blast. Guster, I'm Talia Schlanger. It's World Cafe.